You are awesome in this place, my God.
He is awesome in this place.
Yes.
I love you all's the words. Word, presence. Mm-hmm. And the third one was the love, presence, and word. And that's all part of what my message is today. Go ahead, Jesus. So we're going to talk about a few things. My name is Mary Melton. This is my mom. Miss Patricia Gibson Willis, and we go to a church called Kingdom Life Church. Same name as Pastor Melissa's and Randy's, but we're RDU, and they're international. And our pastor name is Pastor Willie Robinson Jr., and we're in Ghana, and we're in the process of trying to build a building. So we're outdoors right now. We're trying to find some winter pavement until we get the place remodeled, but God is working. Amen. And I just want to first give honor to God. And also I want to honor Pastor Ernestine for allowing us to come here, and all the leadership here, as well as all the people that are here today, each and every one of you, your families. We just bless you and honor you, because Jesus truly is worthy. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk a little bit about glory and presence. That's what the Lord put on my heart. So we're just going to dive right in, and I'm going to put my timer on, and hopefully I follow it. So what is glory? Glory is the sum of everything amazing, the attributes about God. We just sang about his attributes in those songs, didn't we? How radiant and glorious and wonderful and awesome that he is. It's the attitude that God possesses in every perfect action he does is glorious. All these things comprise of its weight, essence, and its brightness and light. And I'm just going to give you some references. Psalms 24, 8 and 10 talks about God's strength and might. Psalms 96, 3 talks about God's marvelous deeds. Psalms 96, 6 talks about God's majesty. Psalms 96, 9 talks about God's holiness and his righteousness. Psalms 96, 13 talks about God's faithfulness. John 17, 5 talks about Jesus, the glory that he had, the Father gave him even before the world was created. That glory has been around forever and always will be. John 1 and 14 talks about the transfiguration when Jesus was on the mount. Peter, James, and John, and then all of a sudden his voice came down from heaven and said, what did he say? This is my son, right? Who I'm well pleased. But guess what? You are his sons and daughters, and he is well pleased. Yeah. He ain't mad. He's not even in a bad mood, as Andrew would say, right? Hallelujah. And so Peter goes on to say that he was an eyewitness of this transfiguration. He was there. He saw the glory. Hallelujah. Just imagine that. You're outside all of a sudden in the cookout all of a sudden. Bam! Chazam, right? There must have been something. And even that, you know, Peter said, you know, even though we saw all of that, but I even got a more sure word of prophecy. And that's this.
Yes.
Amen.
More than anything we think we can see or muster up, God says, this is it right here, yeah. Right? Because the word of God will keep us straight. His glory is all around us, right? In Psalms 90, Psalms 19 and 1, it says, the heavens are telling or declares what? The glory of God. We see it every day, the sun, the moon, the stars, the atmosphere, all the different planets and all the beauty creation all around us. God is constantly talking to us.
Yes.
But sometimes we just get in our car and we just miss all of that, right? Mm-hmm. I was looking at the little bush I had around the house, all of a sudden, like, boom, we're just, I'm like, wow, what is that? God is always doing stuff. So we've got to slow down, right?
Yes.
And so some of the descriptives of the word glory in the Hebrew, the word is kabod, the weight of God, the majesty, the wealth, the splendor, his honor. And then there's a word called doxa in the Greek. It talks about God's opinion, belief, what we seem good or think about, imagine. We're going to talk about that opinion because, you know, God's opinion is over. And so that word doxa is awesome. And so in John 17, Jesus talks about the glory. And I'm just going to read from verses 20 to 24. It says, neither for these alone, this is Jesus talking, neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe, and that is us, right? Because we weren't there then, right? But in the heart and mind of God, we were, right? Because he was already talking about us. We went, come on, don't say God don't love you. That's a lie. Hallelujah. He knows us. So he said, but also for those who will ever come to believe in and trust in and cling to, rely on me, through their word and teaching, through the disciples' words, right? Those disciples that started this thing off, right? It had to have been something else with the power of God. Just imagine over 2,000 years ago, the word of God, you can't snuff it out. They killed, they did all kinds of things to people that they suffered. The disciples died horrible deaths, except for John, right? And they went through all, you had to have seen something, experienced something to go through all of that.
Yes.
I mean, they know that they know that they know. And that's how God wants us to know that we know that we know. When the enemy's coming after you, you know that you know that you know because you experienced God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yes. So God is relevant. And then he goes on to say in verse 21, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. Wait a minute. Are we walking around with a God thing inside of us?
Amen.
We are walking around with the glory of God, the presence of God is in us, in our spirit, right?
Amen.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm just, so that the purpose of that is not for us to say, oh, God's in us. It's a reason. Everything Jesus does, he doesn't waste words, right?
Right.
He says, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you sent me. People need to see a demonstration of the kingdom of God that's already in us by his spirit. And it's not just for fivefold. It's not just for five people.
No.
Brother Cucumber, Sister Banana Head. It's for everybody that says, I believe in Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
And then when you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, God, you allow the power to go forth to do the work. We're not alone in this, right?
Right.
All of us. We need, God needs all of us.
Together.
He says, and that's what unity is all about. That's why he said, I and me, you and the Father and me, and I and you, and them and us, and this back and forth, right?
Yes.
So it's a unity thing there, right?
Yes.
And it all rides on love because Jesus made it possible because of his love, right?
Yes.
His love is one of your first principles of your mission statement there, love, presence, and the word.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do must be out of love.
Yes.
The gifts don't even operate correctly if love is not the
Amen.
Foundation.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You can have all the gifts. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, but in verse 13, 1, it says, oh, let me show you a better way.
Yes.
If it's just you being whatever, you'll fizzle out.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So I and them, you and me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me. Jesus stands out from among all other religions because his life is a life of love and power,
yes.
compassion.
Yes.
He is relevant.
Yes.
We were made in his image and likeness. We are the only created beings that have a soul and a spirit.
That's right.
Yes.
I know y'all love your dogs and cats, but Jesus, we are higher on the food chain. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I like them too. I like kitty cats. Like Moses, he asked God that he might what? See his glory, right? But Jesus gave us his glory as a gift. Now I'm going to read 22 again in John 17. I have given to them the glory and honor which you gave me, Father. He's talking to the Father. That they may be one, even as we are one. We have been given God's glory. See, I just think, you know, you have to be in a certain whatever and follow this. We have the glory.
Yes.
It's
yes.
in us.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I can tell you the name of my message, huh? I called it looking without for what's within.
Yes.
I was one of those people that was just running here, there, and everywhere, and before Karis, you know, trying to get the little touch here. And then when I got to Karis, I found out, as Andrew says, you already got it. And so we have to realize what we've been given, because if not, you'll only think that if so-and-so doesn't touch you, you're not going to be able to get healed, or you're not going to be able to get delivered, or you're not going to be able to prosper, because we have everything in us.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank God he didn't make it that it was only a reserve of people.
Thank
we would never
Jesus.
Get to them.
Thank
you have to pay big money to get in, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. through the Holy Spirit within, we can experience his glory.
Yes.
His glory has already been promised. John 17, 22, I've given them. He said, I already did it.
Amen.
It's like the crack of a cracker jack. Cracker jacks. Candy coated popcorn, peanut in a prize.
Yes.
That's what you get in Cracker Jack. It's in the box, right?
Yes.
You pull out the candy coated popcorn, then you find a little prize.
Yes.
We got
yes.
the glory in us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're
yes.
in Cracker Jack
yes.
box.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's already given it to us. Jesus made everything right by his death, resurrection that we just talked about through communion. He gave us healing, deliverance, prosperity,
yeah.
health,
yeah.
sins forgiven.
Yeah.
He did
yeah.
it once and
yeah.
for all.
Yeah.
In Hebrews, it talks about once and for all sacrifice. He is not going to the cross again. He's done deal. It's for us to discover what he's put in our divine nature. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's given us everything.
Thank you.
Accepting the fact that God is love and also that he loves us continually, not based on the next time I do something that's not right. It's a continual, perpetual
yes.
love.
Yes.
It's not like
yes.
our kind of love. If you make me mad, I don't like you today, right? Thank God he's not like us. Each and every one of us. I mean, this should fuel us and position us to allow the glory of God to be revealed to us and through us. In other words, when you just know you're loved, not because you're trying to get love from God, you just love by God, you can be open to receive. Because
Amen.
When you don't think God likes you, you're not going to ask him or depend on him to
That's
heal
right.
you. You're
yeah.
not going to ask him to prosper. You're not going to ask him to do anything for you because you think God is mad at you.
Yeah.
It's no different than a kid. If a kid don't get messed up, you know, they're going to try to hide the room and they don't want to gonna hide, right?
Right?
But when you know that you're loved and God
mm-hmm.
accepts you,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
you're going to go to him. Yeah, you're going to have a heart that's broken and contrite. You're going to have a repentant heart. You're going to ask forgiveness, but you can come confidently knowing that you're going to be received.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So believing God's weighty opinion about us should settle it. What has God said about you and me? We're loved, we're valuable, we're righteous, we're holy. Uh-oh, don't say that. We're holy in the spirit, right? Righteous. Well, all that, the bag of chips, and so much more, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is God's opinion, not because of you, but because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says it, it settles everything.
Amen.
It, that means your feelings don't have a right to vote.
Amen.
Amen.
My feelings might tell me whatever, but Jesus' word said, that's why we have a more sure word of prophecy
yes.
right here, right?
Yes.
That will speak to your feelings and speak to our mindsets
yes.
that are not lining up with what he said.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for the word. And so we cannot allow the world to dilute God's opinion of who we are. His word has weight. His word has weight. And when we say and declare what he says, we in effect allow God to throw his weight around.
Yeah.
Come on. God's in the ring. Boom. Right? He's punching people with the word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We throw the weight around. Hallelujah. You are, and God says that we are king and priest.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priest. Go on and preach it over back there. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness
yeah.
into what? His marvelous light, into the glory. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We were once not a people, but now we are the people of God. So when the devil says, you know, you used to whatever, I say, yeah, what about it? And but God says, right? And so now we are people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have been given what we don't deserve. Right? That's mercy. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you.
But and in grace is God's goodness. He did that to us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, based on what Jesus has done. And so there is a saying that people say, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. But I heard, I forgot his name. Anyway, I'm listening to some teaching. But anyway, I heard it said even better. God said it, and that settles it.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, that's on you. If he said it, it's still right.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
he does is right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Forever, O Lord, it says in Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in
settled.
Heaven.
Settled.
It's settled.
Settled.
1 Corinthians 1 and 20. Everywhere, every word of God is yes.
And amen.
And amen. God already said yes. We got to put the amen to it. We got to agree with him. We agree with God.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. It says here, by glory, that you and I were created for his glory. Uh-oh. Isaiah 43 and 7. You know, God, he looks at us and he just marvels. He loves these created beings that he's created. He's put everything on the line for us. He loves us. You might look at yourself and go, oh, but he's going, wow. You're awesome.
You are awesome, Lord.
Hallelujah. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, he said. Jesus. That's we don't compare ourselves with no what other people are. Compare yourself to this.
Yeah.
Don't even compare yourself with your own negative mindset.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You come up with some stuff, right?
Yeah.
I wish I looked. I wish you. No, look like this. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." So in other words, God already put it in our hearts that we can see through the knowledge of God to see the glory. We have it.
Yes.
It's in there, like Prego. We were made to reflect his glory to the world. So what do you do with a light in the darkness? You shine it, right? You are so bright and beautiful. So when you go places, where it doesn't matter where you are, you don't even have to say nothing. People can just tell, see the light. I've had people say that to me. I've been minding my business, not saying nothing. It's like, there's something about you. I don't know. Or if I open my mouth, I might say something that might indicate it. But God, people see the light in us.
Yes.
They may not never say anything, but they know there's something different about you.
Yes.
Because when you're not acting and flipping out like everybody else is over the same stuff, they're like, there's something up with them. It's true.
That's
I've had people say it. And I know, especially when you've been around people a long time that know you, not work with someone. And then I just had a co-worker write me this beautiful card. She just retired. I worked with her for 5 years. And I was like, she saw me go through all kinds of stuff, but she wrote the most beautiful card. And she was just basically saying, I see God's radiance in you.
Yes.
That's God.
Yes.
See, it's not about perfection. It's about being real.
Yes.
And being honorable. And when you do mess up, mess up.
That's right.
Don't act like, I'm going to get told, whatever. But, you know, his glory is in us. Colossians 1:27. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you and me, the hope. Hope of glory. You know, it just blows my mind. In the scripture, Psalms 8:4-6 says, what is man that you're mindful of him, right? The son of man that you visit him. Well, you have made him a little lower than the angels. That word angel is really Elohim. We've been made a little lower than God. I know someone got problems with that, but we are. Because we're going to judge angels, so how can they be over us? It says it in Revelation. We're going to, so anyway, that's another lesson. So we've been made a little lower. We have been crowned with glory and honor.
Yes.
Not because you did everything perfect. It's because of Jesus. Everything we have is because of Jesus.
Amen.
So we can get over ourselves and just get on with Jesus, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's nice. Thank you, Lord. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. So we have dominion over this, all the animals, the, you know, all that stuff that scripture talks about, these beasts of the field and all of that, right? And you have put all things under his feet. We're powerful.
Yes.
And as long as we're looking outside for all of that, we will never utilize what's been given us on the inside.
That's right.
And that's what the enemy wants us not to realize what God has given his life for. That precious blood is already beaten beyond recognition. He doesn't want us to discover that, he wants us just to be, he'd be good enough if you could just say, okay, I'm saved and that's it. And I'm going to heaven. He'd be good with that. But he don't want you to know that you can get healed that you can get to live it, and you can prosper, you can do all that. He don't want you. You can have a clear mind. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to have anxiety. Oh, no. He don't want you to know that. Just be happy with, okay, we're going to heaven one day, so now we can just go on and live our life. In the meantime, we're living in hell, and we're not utilizing everything that God has given us, right?
Amen.
Jesus. We are image bearers of the Almighty. We are. We are like flashlights. Big old floodlights. You see those guys in the underground, they got those big old lights and they're walking through it. We are image bearers of the Almighty. We were created to bring glory to Him.
Amen.
To honor Him, to praise Him, His glorious name, to thank Him for His abundance in our lives, mm-hmm. to praise Him for who He is and all that He has done and doing for us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Our bodies can, this is awesome. Our bodies contain the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
We carry, this is just really jacked me up. We carry a spiritual capacity to hold the supernatural.
Yes.
Think about that. Think about it. God, I mean, everything we see, God made, right? He's in us.
Yes.
I mean, that's just like, it don't even make no, you gotta bypass your brain cell, right? This is an awesome thing. God in us, in this flesh,
yeah,
in our spirit,
yeah.
God.
Yes.
Amen.
We hold the supernatural and we don't even realize it.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I want to talk a little bit. That was the glory. I want to just talk a little bit about presence and then we'll put it together. Presence means a lot of different things. It talks about face to face when you're in the presence of someone, you're looking at them, right? You're in the circumference or the area. Also, another word used in Hebrew, Shekinah, is a transliteration meaning indwelling or settling. It denotes the divine presence of God or being in the view of a superior. The presence of God, you know, Moses had a relationship with God, but the people only knew God through Moses. They didn't want presence of God. They just wanted to go, oh, no, you go up there, Moses. They didn't want that, right? God showed the people His glory. They saw His glory because they saw all the manifestations, but of His goodness, because everybody can see God's goodness, but they didn't know His presence. Moses did, but not the people, because they didn't want it. God gave them a chance. Remember when He said that, and they were like, no, you, Moses, you go ahead. We don't want nothing. God desires us to know and enjoy His presence. Psalm 16:1, I love this. For in His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence. That means when we really recognize who we are, what we have, joy comes.
Yes.
We have everything. You realize I got everything.
Yes.
Even though I got bills to be paid, I still got everything. Hallelujah.
Because
I got Him. He got me. Do you need a relationship with God to see His glory? No. Because everybody sees God's glory. They go out, they see the sunshine, they see the moon, the stars, the birds, they see the flowers. His glory, His magnificence, His display is all over the world. Everybody can experience His glory, just like Moses, Israel did, but they didn't know His presence. Psalms 95:1 says, God's glory is shown to all. Those who do and don't have a relationship with Him, they all can experience it. Why? Because His goodness is what will lead people to repentance. So everybody, His glory allows people to see the goodness and it can lead them to Him, right? So what's the presence of God? The presence of God is the atmosphere where God reveals Himself to those who have a relationship with Him. See, we all can see His glory. Oh, God, show me glory. But there's another thing to have a relationship, intimacy.
Yes.
Wow, God. Matthew 7:7 says you must actively seek Him, right? Seek, knock, the door will be open. It's an ongoing progressive thing that trains our heart to look to God every day, not just every day I got it and I'll see when I'm going to have an issue, right? It helps us actively. And we learn, it says here, you must actively seek Him and learn to receive directly from Him. Because we have been taught that we only can receive from a few people.
Yeah.
The special person coming in town, this and that. God is saying, no, You are kings and priests. Yes. You have the right. Yes. You're at the altar. You can do. You have the altar in your heart. You can minister. You can receive from me. You.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Psalms 139:7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" See, we're in his presence.
Yes.
But the question is, do we recognize it? Mm-hmm. We're always in, you can't go to where God sees everything, right?
Yes.
But do we see him? Do I see him in my challenges at home? Do I see him at school? Do I see him at work? Do I see him in my neighborhood? Do I see him when somebody wants to cut me off when I'm driving? So it's something we have to actively pursue, right?
Yes.
Because I have to decide how I'm going to respond.
Yes.
Am I going to respond in flesh? Or am I going to respond by the Spirit?
Amen.
And we make that choice. Mary in Luke 19:38-42, she discovered that one thing, right? When Mary and Martha was cooking a meal for the disciples and all those people that were coming to her house, and she was, you know, not happy because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and she didn't want to wash all those dishes by herself. I get it. So that's a joke. So but the point was Mary discovered something.
Yes.
Mary knew something about Jesus in their first meeting. If you study out, they were friends, right? And so she knew that he had a word that could change her life. And she was at the feet of Jesus. She discovered that one thing, that focus, that intentionality. The presence of God is intentional.
Yes.
Amen.
We have to be intentional.
Yes.
And like Mary, when you're hungry for something, think about it. Thanksgiving is coming. What's one of your favorite foods? Come on, give me something. Come on, give me something.
Sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie. What? What else? Come on, give me something else.
Turkey,
right? Stuffing, right? When you're really hungry for something and you're craving it, and you know how you just can't think of, you just can't, you're always thinking about it, and you can't wait for it to get done, right? When you're hungry for something, that's all you can think about. You become passionate about it. That's the same way we got to be about his presence.
Yes.
When you're just thinking about it, and you just can't wait, and you just constantly just, aware, it's just being aware. That's all it is, because you're in it.
Yes.
We're in it. We're in that. So we're in it. It's just being aware that we're there. And you know, like with Moses, when that burning bush, the bushes were, from what I understand, they burned a lot. It wasn't an unusual thing for a bush to burn in the Bible. But the difference was this bush wasn't being consumed. Mm-hmm. Bushes burned, it's like these wildfires in California. They burn. But these ones weren't, this particular one wasn't being consumed. And what Moses did, he could have just went, but he turned aside.
Keep on going, keep on going.
How much time do I have? So I can put
another hour.
For real? How much do I have? Okay, I don't want to be disobedient. Okay. So he turned aside. So there's something called focus.
Yeah.
Intentionality. So you and I have the presence of God working in us, through us, and on our behalf through the indwelling Holy Spirit. You got it. I got it. Toyota. We are led and we walk in the Spirit in the ways of righteousness. Luke 17:21. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Spiritual rules over your heart and your lives. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of God ruling, the fruit of the Spirit, one fruit, different manifestations, but peace is a presence of God in us. Genesis 28:15, behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to the land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob, this is Jacob when he was running from his brother Esau because he stole his birthright. And now he's there, he's sleeping, he's having his dream, and then he's dreaming about God. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, wow, without any doubt, the Lord is in this place. And I did not even know it. And that spoke to me. I said, God, how many times have I not noticed?
Amen.
You were right here, but I didn't focus. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. So, okay, so let's pretend this is seawater, okay? Seawater. Mm-hmm. I looked this up. Scientifically, it says that invisible to the naked eye, there is a teeming world of microbes in here, mm-hmm. living in ocean water, seawater, right? Mm-hmm. Millions of them. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell by looking at it though, if this was right, if this was real seawater or not, but just to pretend it was. You couldn't see it with the naked eye, right? All kinds of viruses and protists and fungi and bacteria. One drop can hold millions. Similarly, you and I have unlimited life and power on the inside of us in our born-again spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. How much more?
Thank you.
How much more? The presence of God is a place to hang out. Psalms 91:1. He who dwells, come on, y'all know this one, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You can't have that secret place if you don't know the presence, if you're not in the, you're aware of his presence. We are in his presence. So I'm just going to end this with Mephibosheth. David in 2 Samuel chapter 9 said, this is after his father saw Jonathan, Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan was killed, and also his grandfather, King Saul, was killed. And now David was in the process of being king and all that, right? He was king. And so he says he was looking to show kindness to Jonathan if there was a remnant. He wanted to know if there was anyone that he could show goodness to, because him and Jonathan had a covenant. They had, and that's one thing about covenants with God. His word cannot be broken.
Right.
And God, and one thing about covenants, he makes the term and then he keeps the terms.
Yeah.
We can't even keep them.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with this. Hallelujah. So everything he said is a covenant. His word is settled in heaven. Whatever he said about me and you is true. He can't break it, but we can.
Yes.
By not believing. So here it is. He says, is there anyone still who is left in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? 2 Samuel 9:1. But can I just rephrase this? Is there anyone still left in the house of God that I may show kindness for the sake of Jesus?
Amen.
For Jesus' sake. Jesus is saying that. God is saying that to us about his son. He wants to show his kindness. And you know what? We see it when we focus on his presence.
Yes.
And so it goes on to say how, you know, Mephibosheth was in Lodabar, meaning no pasture, no word, nothing. It was kind of like the nothing mill, okay? And when David came and got him and brought him to his table, and the other thing was he was crippled because his nurse, when he was 5 years old, they were running from the Philistines that were trying to take over. And so when she was running, she dropped him by accident. And you might say, well, I had stuff happen to me. Someone may have dropped us. We may have gone through things that we felt like we would never recover. Emotionally or physically, financially, you feel God dropped you, but he didn't drop you. But anyway, sometimes the enemy will tell us that, right? But we feel dropped, right? Now here he is, both feet crippled, age 5. And now they say that, I was doing research, he probably was about 21 years old. He had a son named Micah. And by the time David brought him into his house. And when he brought him there, he had crippled feet. And David went on to say, I'm going to read what David said because I can't, he can say it better than me. So he says here, verse 6, he said, so it says here that King David, I'm reading verse 5, 2 Samuel chapter 9. He says, then King David sent and brought him, meaning Mephibosheth, from the house of Michal, son of to Lodabar. Then Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did worship, reverence. David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, your servant. David said to him, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan's sake, your father, and I will restore you, hallelujah, in all the land of Saul, your father and grandfather, and you shall eat at my table always. And God is saying the same thing to you and me. No matter what you've gone through, I have restored you. You are at my table. It says in Psalms 23, in the presence of his, I got it right here. I'm going ahead because I'm trying to hurry up. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint it and refresh my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We are at the table. We have been given everything. We are at the table.
Yes.
And so here he goes on to say, and the cripple bowed his head and said, what is your servant that you should look upon as a dead dog as I am? Then the king called the Ziba and went on to tell him, basically, you know, I have given your master's son, grandson, all that belonged to Saul. In other words, he was inheriting the land and all these things that he thought he would never get again, because normally when a king takes over, they kill off the old people that used to be in charge, because they don't want them to try to come back, right? And so Mephibosheth is probably a little fearful, going, why does he want me in his house? But he finds out he's getting ready to get blessed. In his cripple, he probably thought his life was over. And sometimes we think our life is over. I know I have made some bad choices throughout my life in different times, and I just knew it was over. But I'm going to tell you something about God. God ain't impressed with all of that. He don't care about where you've gone and where you've been and what you did and what you didn't do. God's plans are always what they are, good. Hallelujah. I know my plans for you, thus saith the Lord, right? Plans for good, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So with this, hallelujah. He said, continually eating at the king's table. We are at the table.
Yes.
And we can continually eat at his table as we focus on who he is and who we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
We are kings and priests. We are the apple of his eye. We are loved. Hallelujah. Yes. We have rights. We have rights. And we need to claim them.
Yeah.
Any of you all got an HSA account? Anyway, when you work, you get like a medical account and you put money away and then you use the money up. You spend it for your dental and this and that. If you don't use it by the end of the year, you lose it.
Right.
Well, if we don't use what we've been given, you lose it. Mm-hmm. Not because God took it. We didn't take advantage of it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we have been made aware what God has given it to us. I know Pastor has she's a teacher, and I know that she's a preacher, and I know she teaches that what we've been given. We have been given, and we're at the table. And the thing about his crippled feet, I want to say, I was sitting at my little desk that I was working at, and I thought about it, and I read about this too. When you're at the table, nobody can see your feet.
Mm-mm.
He didn't know cripple.
Mm-mm.
Hallelujah. And God don't see our crippleness. He don't see our mess. He don't see what we went through. He don't see all those things that you thought you would never recover from. He ain't looking at that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He only sees, this is the apple of my eye. This is the one I shed my blood for. This is the one I love. This is the one I adore. That's all he sees. So when you get those negative thoughts about your past, that's not God.
Mm-mm.
That's the enemy.
Yes.
And you can cast it down with the truth.
Yes.
This is who I am. If you don't know what to say, you don't even got to know scripture. I found this out. You ain't even got to know scripture. If he says something that's bad, you just say the reverse.
Amen.
And that'll shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
Shut him down. This is my last point. I'm done. You are at the table, filled and flooded with his radiant glory, and we get to display it everywhere we go, making an invisible God visible.
Yes.
Thusly encouraging those all around us to know God is love and loves them personally and wants to awaken the inner life, the real life within them. I want to sing this chorus one more time. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. To you our life we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. And the reason why I wanted to do it at the beginning and end, in the beginning, we were just saying, oh, you're awesome in this place. But I want you to look at yourself and say, you are awesome in this place.
Yes.
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 You are awesome in this place.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. You are awesome in this place.
Yes.
No more looking outside for what's been given to you inside.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.